Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Detroit Sound Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, and Matt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 78 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. We made it on time.
Hey.
All of us made it here. Matt made it here roughly 10 seconds into the intro song.
Paying tribute to Dan, who's always late, so that's what we got to do.
Oh, my name is Ken. I don't have a beer in front of me. I actually told Rob to put all my beer away, so we might have to sneak away to go get me a, beer is being poured right now, so that's right. Good.
Beer's always en route.
Matt, what are you drinking over there?
I just cracked a Twisted Tea. I'm trying to keep it going from the baseball game today.
Were you downtown today?
I was not downtown today. I was helping moving today, but I kept along with those that were downtown today for sure.
Rob, what's going on?
Hey, it's another great day.
Were you downtown?
I was absolutely not downtown. There was no way in hell I was going to be down there. I had more than enough to do with just kind of little house emergencies and in-house fires that were going on today. So, there was no chance of me going down there. So
yeah, I woke up for 7 o'clock. I had to go down to Toledo and I hear music. I hear people. I'm like, oh God, here we go. So I was just, I'm looking down. I'm seeing everyone. Like the parking lot across the street from where I live, which is like a church parking lot, started to fill up. The Stroh's lot was already filled. People were tailgating. It was just a blast down there, just watching people. But I got the hell out of there that second. But like even it was like the seventh or eighth inning, and sure enough, 75 was already back to back at like 3:30.
Of course.
And so I had to go all the way up to Sterling Heights. So I took Van Dyke all the way up. So that drove through the nice part of Detroit.
The nice part of Detroit. East Side, what's up?
That ain't East Side. That's still
Van Dyke's East Side.
Van Dyke's not East Side.
Yeah, it is.
East Side.
East Side's like
the definition
Harbor.
Of East Side is east of
Woodward.
Woodward.
Is it really?
Yeah.
They ain't so much west of Woodward.
You've got Far East, which is your
Plymouth.
Yeah, you've got your Far East, which is your Gratiots. Your Far West, which is your Northwestern Highways.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm drinking, but it looks foamy, so I'm going to enjoy it.
Well, let's introduce our guests then, so we can figure out what we're drinking. Why don't you introduce yourself first?
Matt Becker, owner and brewer, Brewery Becker.
And next to you?
Mike O'Brien, Brewgiver.
All right. So what are we drinking? Let's start that off first so we know.
This is a barrel-aged Belgian double with cherries.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Mm. Just starting us off right away.
Bottled
huh?
conditioned as well.
What's the ABV on that?
7%.
I was going to say, you don't taste a thing.
Wow.
That's well, I love doubles. Like Double Dragon favorites. Over in Dragon Mead, probably one of my favorite doubles. It's definitely that Belgian strong ale that doesn't punch you in the face.
Some
like
butteriness,
a lot of,
too.
No soap.
Trust me, I have soap in a bag right
Oh, no.
That's right. Five questions.
No Goldings. That's why it doesn't taste like soap.
So you own Brewery Becker?
I do.
Are you the head brewer?
I am.
You are.
Yep.
So
head
what?
Brewer,
when APAR, did
HR, head dishwasher, you name it.
So. When did Brewery Becker open?
We opened in June 2014 after almost 4 years of build out.
Oh. Is there a reason why it took so long? Or
The building's an 1871 historic hotel. It's on the National Registry of Historic Places, and it was basically a falling down, condemned trash heap.
Oh.
Where are you guys located?
Right in downtown Brighton.
Downtown Brighton, okay.
Corner of 1st and Main.
Now, were you guys required to build it a certain way because it's on the Register of Historic Places, or did you still have freedom to do what you wanted with it? Did it have to be restored to its...
It did not. Since there is no historic district, the designation doesn't provide any protections unless it's in a historic district.
Okay.
That said, we did historically restore it, though. So we say we gave it the Greenfield Village treatment.
The Greenfield.
So and I literally mean that. If you see the place, people call it the most beautiful brewery in Michigan. It's jaw-droppingly gorgeous.
Now, it's a three-story. It used to be a hotel. Do you do room? Or you don't do rooms still?
No,
I would imagine,
it's all,
right?
The upstairs floors are all rental halls.
Okay. Yep. So it's a couple of rentals for weddings, for events, et cetera?
Yeah. Yep. There's a second floor and a third floor, and the third floor is a loft that overlooks the second floor now.
Okay.
And it can be rented separate from the second floor, or you can rent the both thing, or it's also open on weekends when it's not rented.
Is it kind of like a spillover room, too? Do you have a dumbwaiter up and down? Or
there's a second bar up there.
Okay. Oh, even better.
Yep.
And there's an elevator.
You don't need even need
a
dumbwaiter.
Large one.
I was going to say, is it one of those, like, freight elevators where you got to, like, close multiple gates and then...
No, it's a very modern, all-stainless elevator, but it's big enough to take a pallet of kegs or a pallet of grain or something like that in a walk-behind fork truck and 5,000-pound elevator.
I was going to say, yeah.
Because my grist room and grain mill is on the second floor.
Okay.
So I need to... take everything upstairs, and I don't want to bring 5,000 pounds of grain up there every 2 weeks.
So we put it in the elevator.
And I had to have an elevator for handicap reasons.
Okay.
And it wasn't that much more to go from an elevator that was barely big enough to fit a wheelchair to one that could take two pallets of kegs.
Well, had you been in construction before you started brewing?
No.
So this was all kind of... learning.
A lot of learning. More learning than you could ever imagine. I'll never do that again.
Never. Okay, so there's not an expansion in your...
not into another historic hotel that needs restoration that much. Oh, boy, what a nightmare that was.
So let's talk about when you got started homebrewing. Mm-hmm. How long have you been homebrewing before you opened Brewery Becker?
Before I opened, 23 years.
So this had been kind of a passion or a hobby you'd been doing for quite some time?
Oh, yeah. I first decided I wanted to open a brewery in 1992.
Okay.
Took me many years to actually get around to doing it. Watched the industry change a hell of a lot in the previous years. And
I was going to say, how many breweries were there open in 1992?
Maybe four, three, am I at? Mike, you might know.
Terrible numbers.
I want to say probably 60 to 70, 92. Probably. I mean, statewide?
Yeah, statewide, yeah.
It was at 65 for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Fire Academy was open then, and Local Colors was open.
Blue Cow open up in Lansing.
Blue Coyote.
Blue Coyote, sorry.
Yeah. And, you know, Bell's and Founders have been around since the...
Yeah. Yeah, Bell's opened in, what, 86, right? 88,
yep.
Shorts and all those. Like so what was the first batch of beer that you brewed that you really thought, okay, I might have something here? Maybe not your first beer, but your first beer that your friend started hounding you to make more of, or that you really enjoyed personally.
It pretty much started right off the bat. I mean, our very first beer we made was pretty dull. I had no idea what I was doing at the time, but... You know, almost immediately I started reading books and doing research, and pretty quickly the beers came up to speed. I've always been somebody who enjoys trying to nail commercial styles, essentially. I'm a big fan of holotypes of beers. So, you know, when I make a Saison, I'm thinking of Saison DuPont. When I make a triple, I'm thinking Vestmalle. You know, so I always have these classics in the back of my mind that I'm always kind of shooting for. Best thing I can say, you know, for me, is to be able to take my triple and put it next to Vestmalle triple and not be able to tell them apart. You know, that's kind of how I like to brew, you know.
Well, is there a matchup to what we're drinking right now, this double with cherries?
You can find, not necessarily a specific brand, but there's quite a few Creek doubles out there that are typically barrel-aged as well. Most Belgian breweries... They don't age them a long time, but they'll get 3 weeks or 4 weeks in spent barrels before they go out. That's just how they mature them. And that's about all this guy spent in barrels was about a month.
Now, I read your menu. It's very Nordic, you might even say. Is that kind of the focus, is Belgian beers, North European beer styles? Because you have both, like, Belgians that we're drinking now. You have a Kolsch.
Yep.
You have some, you know, Viking Gruets.
Yep,
So it's kind of all over that, you know, North Sea kind of.
It can at times. We've well over 100 beer styles we've made already at the brewery in just 3 years. So some people complain I Because I really, besides Vardritka and Hefeweizen, I don't have standards. So I have 14 taps, and only two of them stay, and the other 12 rotate. So so I'm constantly changing the beers that are on. I do a lot of historic beers, but I definitely go more continental. You're going to see a lot of German, a lot of Belgian, a lot of French, and a lot of Scandinavian. You're going to see less British style.
I have to ask to either get my hopes up or be crushed.
Here we go.
But did you bring the Munsterlander?
I did not. Sorry.
But he's got another alt beer, too.
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Dusseldorfer.
Yeah, did you bring that one?
I did not. Today we brought...
trying.
Ken's he's out of here.
That's it for Better on Draft episode 7.
Ken's done. The Bruce Smith episode.
Yeah, I brought Orr Creek Double, which is the barrel-aged Belgian double cherries. I brought our St. Basil Ale, which is a Belgian dark strong slash Abbey Ale. That's a fundraiser beer that we do for scholarships as well. You mentioned your scholarships earlier.
What do you guys do for a scholarship?
This goes to Catholic Central High School. All the students do. So
it's not for like a brewery or distillery program. It's just a scholarship for a student.
Yeah, 100% of the proceeds from this beer that I'm showing them right now, which you can't see, go to...
Sorry, we'll put it on our Instagram. Don't forget to like us on Instagram, Better on Draft.
Is that Detroit Catholic Central or Grand Rapids?
Yeah, okay. Detroit, yep. So, and then I also brought our Vardrick to Braggett, which is a N. Vardritka, too. So it's our Scandinavian farmhouse ale, the Gruet ale, and then a Braggett version of it, which is, instead of 6% alcohol, is 15%.
Is that how you pronounce it, is Gruet and not Groot?
Yes. I pronounce it Gruet, so I don't know. You'd have to
if you were here
the
for the
Dutch
Mountain
person.
Town episode, you would have been told it's Gruet.
I was here for the Mountain Town episode.
You came in late, I believe. That was the episode I had to run the board, I believe.
He was here enough.
Yeah, it's Gruet.
It's Gruet.
But that is, speaking of the style of Gruet, they're not very known, popular, kind of produced. So is it just a style that you like so you produce it because that's something that you want to drink? Or is
exactly.
It... Okay. Yeah. So
my beer list is a list of beers that I want to drink, essentially. Okay. I've never been super good at paying a hell of a lot of attention to the market. I make beers that I want to drink, and typically that's what other people want to drink, too. And when you got 14 taps, you make 14 beers, you're going to get something for somebody.
Right.
So. Now, how big is your system that you brew on? Is it a 5-barrel, or are we talking something?
I got a 7-barrel system. I have 4 primaries and 22 barrels and aging tanks and serving tanks.
Wow.
So we age all our beers almost. There's a few beers that we don't, but the vast majority of them are always aged. So we have a whole basement full of secondaries where beer goes and sits for weeks or months on end before anybody ever touches it. There are a few beers that do come out pretty quick. Hefeweizen, typically beers where being a cloudy young beer is kind of part of the game of the beer.
So when a keg blows at your establishment, you just kind of go to the basement and kind of, I'm feeling frisky for this right now, or...
We don't keg much, actually. We have tanks.
Okay.
So almost everything's in a tank, so... Tank goes on, it's 217 gallons in the one tank, and it's served until it's gone.
Wow.
And then we put something else in the tank.
That's a hell of a way to go. I imagine you don't blow that often then, huh?
No. About once a week we're changing a beer.
Okay.
So, one of the advantages of, like I said, I bought the building to restore it in 2010, but I've been working on this project for years. So, I mean, I bought those, like 2007, 2008? I bought those serving tanks, and this was back, you know, before the real big explosions. So I was able to get those 11 serving tanks for about the price of one tank nowadays. So I was able to take advantage of the smaller market by being in the game for so long. Even though I haven't been open that long, this has been something I've been involved in for a very long time.
Now, Brighton, I've never associated the terms Brighton and craft beer together. Has there been any beers that you put on that have taken off or have been received better into the market? I know you said you're not one for following what the market does, but that was just is requested more often than not, or?
Yeah, you know, people always want the light beers. I get a lot of people that want something easy, dry, pale and not so hoppy. So Kolsch flies off our shelves. Our Hefeweizen's our best-selling beer year-round. It's one of only two beers that doesn't rotate, so we always have it. And I got to make it like every 10 days. It just screams out of it. I mean, it just, I can't believe how much I sell that beer. It's like unbelievable.
So, Mike, what's your role with the business? What's your role with Brewery Becker?
Well, I'm basically somebody who has been home brewing for a lot of years. I started a company called Pico Brewing Systems back in the early 90s, and we built a ton of kegel systems, kegs that were converted into brew kettles. We went on to actually build about a dozen commercial breweries. The brewery that was up at the Sullivan's Black Forest was a system that we actually designed, manufactured, built, and installed. We did that for a few years, putting in an assortment of brewing systems at various locations. Oscoda, the brewery in Oscoda, is the first one that we put in, and it's still in business, still operating, still has the same brewer.
Wiltsy's.
Yep. Wiltsy's in Oscoda, yeah.
So you have no affiliation with Pico Brew, though, the Keurig
not beer. Not the new one. The one that is built in a bread maker.
Other than Pico's his trade name, and he owns the trade name.
I was going to say, yeah, I think we might have a...
Well, they were coming out as I was moving out, so, you know, I haven't really built any brewing systems myself in the last few years, and I don't have the money nor the ambition to go after these guys. But I started the original Pico Brewing Systems. We had a great run from the early 90s until, the last system we would have built would have been, I don't remember.
A lot of beers ago?
A lot of beers ago, exactly. Yeah,
I've been home brewing for 26 years, and Mike's got a decade on me on top of that still. So I
started in 82 as a home brewer, so. But over the years.
What gets you into home brewing in 1982? Because that's really.
Beer was cheap back then. You could.
Yeah.
No, but you couldn't buy anything good. In 82, you know, you could buy all the yellow fizzy beer you wanted. And, you know, you could get imports. Yeah, but still. I always thought beer should taste better than what beer in the can tasted like. And there was this ad in the back of Popular Science. There was this guy with this German-looking guy with a turtleneck, you know, had a glass of beer in his hand. He says, "I'll bet you $5 you can make better beer than you can buy." And I said, "All right, well, you know, that's what I'm looking for." So I sent away for this kit. It came from a brewery, a brew supply store in Erie, Pennsylvania. And I sent away for this kit, and I made this batch of beer. And the batch of beer, you know, came around. I waited, you know, the 2 or 3 weeks that they recommended, and it tasted like apple cider. Oh, man, I must have really screwed up. This certainly isn't the best beer I ever made. So I ordered another kit. It came in. I made it. And it still tasted like apple cider. I followed the directions exactly like what they were on the can. One can of extract, 3 pounds of sugar. What could go wrong? I followed the directions. This is what beer's supposed to taste like, right? Well, in 82, I didn't know any better. And fortunately, Ted Badgerow had the Real Ale Company in Chelsea. So I loaded up a carboy with a second batch in and some bottles from the first batch, took it over to Ted, and I said, "Ted, what am I doing wrong here? Why does this beer taste like apple cider?" He says, "Well, next time you make a batch of beer, Mike, try using 2 cans of extract and no sugar." And so it was all uphill from there.
And if you don't know, Ted Badgerow opened Chelsea Real Ale Company, right?
That's the name of it.
In 1982, it was Michigan's first microbrewery ever opened. So Ted now is the owner and brewer of Ipsy Ale House. He recently reopened. So for very briefly early last year, he was the first microbrewer and the newest microbrewer in Michigan.
Awesome.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So Mike brews on a historic system out in our patio and does all our Brewgiver line of beers named after himself. So as I said before, I'm very much focused on very traditional historic beers, where Mike is the guy who comes around with the creativity and says, you know, why not put Cap'n Crunch and strawberries in a beer, or why not have the bean soup beer? So anytime we've done a beer like bean soup or Cap'n Crunch and strawberries, or the smoked sage squash peppercorn beer,
savory pumpkin ale.
Now, anytime we've done all these beers, they're all Mike's creations. So.
Now, Do you still brew at home?
Oh, heck yes. Heck yes. I'm going to always brew at home.
Do you have something that you make every time? Or
no. I rarely make the same beer twice.
Really?
I think I've got an exception coming up, though. The Sate that I brewed with Matt. Sate is a Finnish style beer. And this is a beer that is an old, old recipe. They would heat up the water, do the mash. They wouldn't necessarily boil it. It would be cooled by pouring it down a trough that has juniper boughs. The folks at Dark Horse just released a Sate. And because it was a beer that I'm currently pretty excited about, my wife and I made the trip over there Thursday night and enjoyed some beers. And unfortunately, I missed the brewer, but I left him a couple bottles of the beer that I made.
So it looks like there's actually a couple that we may have gotten around here at one point, because it looks like Sam Adams made one. Mm-hmm. Dogfish had made one, as well as New Belgium made one.
The Sates?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a,
and I've had some of those.
I'd never heard of the brand.
I can't say they've ever really tasted much like these more traditional Sates that you've made. I mean, these commercial ones are much cleaner and don't really taste like Sate, if you ask me. They're...
Well, I would think, I mean, especially with Sam Calione over in Dogfish Head, I think he tries to adhere a little more to...
He does, absolutely.
You know, that's kind of like his pride is when you're looking at... What was the name of that TV show that he had? Because he had a TV show.
That's right.
I remember he went to Egypt to get, like, Egyptian-style yeast. Yep, and
he pulled some yeast off a fig or something like that in an orchard or something.
When he tries to do these types of beers, he tries to stay as true a style or tries to re-bring the style. Because even in his book, he talks about it.
Yeah, and he works with McEwen from University of Pennsylvania and does a lot of his reproductions of his research that he does. And he's I'm a huge fanboy of his as well. I read all his books, and he's a big inspiration for a lot of my beers.
Well, I think a lot of people appreciate him, you know, in regards to some of the bigger names in the industry.
Well, I'm talking about Professor McEwen now.
Oh, okay.
Not Sam Killian.
Okay. Well, at least for Sam, you know, I was talking to somebody else who met Sam at, I believe it was CBC, mm-hmm. and mentioned, hey, I'm opening up a brewery. And he stopped what he was doing at CBC pouring and talked to the guy for 10 minutes.
Excellent.
And was just like, hey, what are you doing? What are you brewing? What do you like? What do you don't like? And that kind of thing, you know, someone as high up as Sam in regards to the craft beer tiers, because you're talking minus the big names, which are Sam Adams and Yingling.
Yep.
Dogfish Head's right up there.
Absolutely.
As one of the top ones.
Yeah.
And just to take the time for someone who's basically a nano brewer, you know, someone who's making very, very little beer, I think that puts a lot in regards to building the community a lot more.
It does. Well, and you mentioned Sam Adams. Look at all he's done over the years. Jim Cook.
Well, he was just here in Michigan a couple months ago for the Brewers Guild
Conference.
Yeah.
Winter Conference. Sorry, I didn't know he was at Winter Conference.
He was the keynote speaker.
Yep. Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't go to Winter Conference this year, so I decided to go skiing in Steamboat instead.
Oh, I'm sure I missed it then.
Darn.
So, but, I mean, you know, he's got that program where he makes those zero interest rate loans to microbrewers during the great hop shortage of 2008. He, when Budweiser was trying to corner the hop market and force all of us out of business, Sam Adams was selling their contracted hops that they had plenty of to other microbreweries at cost.
Really?
At a time when people were paying $40 and $50 and $80 a pound for hops, when a box of hops went from $185 to $2,000, and then Bud decided to buy up the rest of the hops in the world to try to force us all out of business, he personally probably saved, 20? 30, 40, 50.
Well, do you think
breweries?
This is why we're seeing a renaissance of hop farms, especially within the state of Michigan? You're seeing them start to sprout up every
It's helping a lot with preventing another great hop shortage.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a weird combination of failed harvests and a big fire.
Yeah, so they say.
Now, my theory, and we hear this a lot from brewers, that you have to wait 3 years for a decent hop crop. Has anybody ever brewed with a fresh crop of hops?
There's nothing wrong with the hops in the first 2 years of growing hops. The problem is that it takes a certain amount of time for all of those vines to, you know, come to major production. The first year you've only got a 6 foot vine, and you're going to be you got a 6 foot vine, and you're going to get just a handful of hops off of it. The second year, you're going to you know, have a vine that's a little longer than that. But by the third year, you got a 20, 25 foot tall vine. It's at the top of your, you know, your trellis system, and you know, you're getting a decent amount of hops. So when you talk about hops not being, you know, it takes 3 years. It takes 3 years to get the quantity. A production quantity of the hops that you're trying to,
well, maybe to make. I was just under the impression that it needs more maturity, more seasoning for that. Because I think, wasn't it Eastern Market saying that this was the first year that they planted hops last year and that they weren't going to do anything with it until 2 years when they would start moving with them? And I thought, hey, let's brew like a virgin IPA or something like that, where you throw all the hops in one kettle and have like a limited release or something like that.
Yeah, my understanding as well is it's more just the vines.
The quantity of hops that you get the first year isn't worth picking hardly.
Have Sean from Top Hop come in. Oh,
we had a brand new hop farm called Hoply Ever After come onto our show.
I haven't heard of that one yet.
Sean Tobridge owns Top Hop Farm in Goodrich, and he supplies a lot of people in this area now, and he's a great guy. I'm sure he'd love to come on your show.
Yeah, we'll definitely reach out. Yeah, we had Hoply Ever After on, and they were talking because they were in year like one and a half of their first harvest. So what they were doing is they had a photography business that made them their money, but they use the hop farm for weddings and ceremonies and stuff like that, so a nice outdoor venue.
Oh, yeah.
So they utilized, you know, the crops as backdrop, without having to necessarily pull the crops yet. So, yeah, definitely interesting. You know, we've talked about it a few times in regards to how long it takes for hops to mature. And I think when you're looking at 2008, a hop shortage, you created a hole in the market in the state of Michigan.
It was a rough world, year. Really. It was a rough year. I know. It was brutal.
Well, I think it's kind of as much of a micro wave the beer has become. We always talk about it being a bubble. Things like the supplies, like the hops, like you've even seen, like, what are they called, malters now? Is that the proper term?
Maltsters.
Yep. Maltsters, rather. Yep. Those are starting to come into Michigan. I think it's kind of a business. People say, hey, you know, my current crop isn't, you know, selling as well as what I see my neighbor selling his hops for, so maybe next year I'll plant hops and start doing some of that. It's kind of like it's the essential backbone of capitalism is that's people want beer needs hops, let's grow hops instead of carrots or celery or potatoes.
Well, all these hop farms are definitely starting to drive hop prices down. They were 16, 18 bucks a pound a few years back from the local Michigan stuff, and then they were 14 bucks a pound. Now I'm starting to see them for 12 and 10 bucks a pound. So I mean, they're going down in value because there's so much acreage being planted.
Do you think that's going to hurt or help craft beer moving forward? Do you think there's going to be like a market crash?
As far as beer goes, I mean, I like having a wide variety of hops available at a reasonable price. I mean, that's an excellent thing for me. Is it excellent for the hop farmer? I don't know. But it's certainly not going to hurt craft brewing to have more hop availability at cheaper prices. It's just going to help us.
Have you, I'm sure the answer is probably yes, but have you brewed with your West Coast hops, like your Mosaic hops and Simcoe?
A little bit. We're probably the least hop-oriented brewery in the entire state of Michigan. Out of the 115 different beer styles I've made, I think three of them are IPAs so far. In fact, Rex Hattapenny, when he reviewed our brewery, said, if you're hooked on IPAs, this is not the place for you. So I don't put much time in.
Well, I mean, you have a West Coast IPA, is your West Coaster. Yep. Wow, that's stretch on that name.
He said he's not a marketer.
You've noticed that the vast majority of our beers don't even have names. They're just called Saison.
Yeah, you have the Session IPA.
We do.
Which is, I think that's the current, trend's going to be.
We three IPAs on.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's never happened before, and it wasn't very long, just because, you know, there was a batch that was almost gone, and so the West Coast is the first time we've made a West Coast, just because people have been asking. So,
are you going to try to get onto the New England trend?
If people ask for one, I might make one. So, but as far as like the hops go, I do use some Mosaics but I almost never use Amarillo or Simcoe or
Cascade.
I don't think I've ever used Cascade in a beer at my brewery, but not once. So
you poured us something different on this time, Ron.
That is the St. Basil's, which is our
scholarship beer. You said,
yep,
right?
It's a scholarship beer. 100% of the proceeds go to high school scholarships. So
now, is there any kind of blurred line between brewing beer and giving beer money away in schools? Because I know you can't bring beer onto school grounds, and there's always that.
Well, we certainly don't have any of the beer at the school or anything like that. Yeah,
that would not be your target market with most of them
exactly.
Under the age.
So, it's just a way to keep the school affordable for people. It's where I went to high school as well. And a big part of our school there is that we want to keep the school accessible to people. And it's quite affordable compared to other schools along its line. So,
before you were a brewer, what were you spending your days doing?
I'm a controls engineer. Okay. So I built capital equipment and did automation.
So this kind of moving to brewing beer wasn't necessary. While it was different, it's still kind of the same structures and in place to, I have to do A, B, and C to get the outcome that I want.
Yeah, it's why Michigan has so many breweries. I mean, why, you ever stop to think, why does Michigan have so many breweries?
I thought it was because the water's so good.
Yeah, a lot of engineers.
Because of our great three-tier system where the distributor owns you for life and the government can smack you around anytime
they want.
A place like Colorado with your 2-cent beer tax.
After that first sentence, you had me hooked, like, where is he going with this?
So the reason we have so many breweries is because we have so many engineers.
Right.
Almost every brewery I know has been opened by an ex-engineer. There's something about engineering. Sure.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure
our homebrew club.
I'm pretty sure the owners of North Center Brewing,
Dragon
are
Mead.
Engineers.
Dragon Mead, all engineers.
Liberty
yep.
Street,
yep. Yep.
Eternity.
Is that like how
I can go on and on and on and on and on? I would bet 75 to 90% of breweries in the state are started by ex engineers, and since Michigan has more engineers per capita than anywhere in the U.S. Motors. That is why we
I guess
have
I writers. Never put those together. Like,
yep.
That's my hypothesis.
I'm in sales, and what happens when you go to sales is you become addicted to coffee and chain smoking. Of course, I didn't get into either of those, but I don't see any tobacco farms sprouting up near car dealerships. So,
there's something about the combination of art and science and drinking that I think just appeals to people that going to engineering because those are the kind of things
you
like.
Do you think it's because,
to build systems, you get to make products, you get to experiment with types of ingredients. I mean, there's a lot of science in this art.
Building on that premise, I don't think we've ever heard that before, but do you think that because being an engineer, it's always about finding the right answer, the one correctness, and then beer is all about the opposite where you play around and it's more of how a lot of chefs are mathematicians?
I think it's love of the process, because engineering in a lot of ways is process manipulation. So,
I wonder what this will do.
And machine building. Yeah. You know, and there's a lot of gadgetry in home brewing, isn't there? You get to build all these different little things, and if you're an engineer, you probably have a little shop in your garage where you make stuff too.
I would almost think it's because engineering, you're always trying to find the answer, and in beer, you can just make whatever. It's almost like the opposite, where, you know, they always say people who are in so much control, they at times their outlet is being out of control, where others can make decisions.
See, the best brewers I know are hyper in control and very detail oriented, and the things that made them great engineers is what makes them great brewers too.
The folks at Ellison.
Our engineers.
Yep. Yes.
Yep. I mean, you can just.
Too bad Nick's not on here today, because obviously we have a engineer that's on our show who works for DTE.
Okay. Well, I thought you meant Nick the Brewer.
No, not Nick the Brewer.
He's an alcoholic engineer.
He's just an alcoholic.
Well, have you ever noticed how many engineers drink as well? So
you got to find.
Maybe that's the true answer.
Sometimes it's, how can I make this? Maybe that's what it was. Like, how can I make this beer taste better? Like we found in the 80s, and then I engineered away. And how do I make this bitter beer be less bitter so my friends like it? Hence the Session IPA. And then how do I make this dark beer less dark, so hence the porter?
Yep.
I think I figured it out. Yes, you opened up the gateway to science.
It's like I said, it's the perfect combination of engineering and art.
Yes.
So at the end result, you have beer.
Yeah, what are your plans for Brewery Becker, like, in the upcoming year? Do you have any big releases, any big parties that you're going to be throwing out there?
You know, with the kind of the nature of the brewery, the fact that I only have two standard products, so every week is essentially
beer and glassware.
So I don't really do things along those lines, just because we're always releasing new beers. Almost every week there's a new beer coming out that's never been produced before. And I don't just mean my same IPA where I maybe change 5% of the hops to a different type or something. I mean, I'm talking different beer styles altogether. I mean,
what? You mean not everybody's building Captain Crunch and strawberries?
Yeah. Only when you're with me, Mike.
I did see a Cinnamon Toast Crunch beer this week.
Kunin. Yeah. Kunin made it.
Yeah, so.
I assume, because Kunin made their breakfast champions for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, they do all kinds of stuff over there as well. So.
Yeah.
Are there any styles of beer that are on your horizon, things that you've kind of been kicking around that you're thinking about going into?
I'm definitely getting deeper into historic beers, specifically what we would call grog beers. So these are typically gruits where there are some combination of grain, honey, fruit, and a bitter resin of some sort. So I'm definitely starting to experiment more with that.
Do you guys do anything for National Gruit Day or no?
We do, yeah. Our Margit is what we do for it.
Okay.
But it's one of the beers that don't rotate, so, I mean, we're on there, but are we doing something for it?
Not specifically, because we always have gruits.
Unless really you're Mountain Town, because Mountain Town's the only place I've seen that really explodes when it comes to Gruit Day, because I remember going up to Gruit Day 3 years ago, and I remember it being ridiculous. Like, they had 14 gruits on tap.
Oh, really?
And we're like, all right. Like,
I just on tap a month later. I tend not to do those kinds of things.
I mean, okay. I just kind of produce.
Well, I mean, today's National Beer Day, so we're celebrating it correctly.
Really? Yeah. Really? Absolutely.
I don't know. That's what on tap.
Here's the National Beer Day, guys.
Cheers. Prost.
Sorry, Mike.
Never cheers with an empty glass. That's like a German sin.
It's bad luck,
Well, if you want to do a German,
that was a 96 thesis.
Yeah, there you go.
What's that?
That was a 96 thesis.
That's the last thesis.
There were 95. 96 was never cheers with an empty glass.
No, Prost empty. Here's a National Beer.
I understand now.
Prost.
Cheers.
Zum Wohl.
Thank you, Theodore Roosevelt. Well,
this is the American National Beer Day. Should we be saying
cheers, right? Here.
Cheers, eh? Oh, that's Canadian.
Oh, wait.
But yesterday,
this is Michigan.
Yesterday was the centennial of going into World War II.
I heard that.
Today is the day of celebrating leaving Prohibition. Do you think those two kind of go hand in hand, or
you'd have to ask FDR
or one of the Roosevelts?
Yeah, I'm glad Prohibition is over.
Well, guess what?
I love
Be
that.
Careful.
Yeah.
Have you guys?
Teetotalers are still out there. Well, there's still teetotalers.
Utah just dropped the percentage of alcohol in your blood to being 0.05.
Yeah, Colorado's 0.5.
Yeah, you can't even smell beer and alcohol on the drive.
Well, there's actually still a prohibition party, like a political party.
Oh, that's what I meant.
You can. I think it was on the presidential ticket
this past year. There's a neo-prohibition movement. Yeah. It's out there. It's real. It's small, but they haven't given up on taking our beer away from us.
And there's still, what, 8 states that didn't ratify the 21st Amendment. So
really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's interesting. That should have been a 5 questions question.
That's your tease for the news.
The more you know. Oh, hey.
I guess Rob would have already known the answer, so I'm glad I'm going to stick with my questions that are opening day based.
Opening. Oh, goodness.
Baseball I know. Based. This is the bad news bears.
This is going to be bad.
If I would have known.
I'm just asking Chris Shelton the question, answering Chris Shelton for every single answer.
I'll give enough clues to where you can get the answer right.
I was just going to Google it.
I was just basically just like going complete Tigers history. You're just going opening day and that's it?
Yeah, I mean, it's opening day.
Chris Shelton would be an opening day fact. Wasn't that a 4-homer night?
No. I'm going to say no.
And
I'd help you guys out, but I'm still in mourning for the Red Wings. So,
final game at home on Sunday.
You know, Sunday is going to be.
It's the none in the playoffs is what.
Yeah, but you know what? Sunday they have a noon. Yeah. They have a 1 o'clock start, and then 2 o'clock is when they do the red carpet at the Joeith. They're going to have like a handshake line with all the Red Wings, and then former Red Wings before you get in the Joe for season ticket holders. So, like right around noon to 3 in downtown Detroit is going to be hopping.
Are they going to do like what they did with Comerica Park and just like basically take the puck after the game and then do a ceremonial drop the puck on the ice of the Pizzeria?
The Pizza Pizzerina?
Yeah.
No, because they don't want that bad juju.
I was going to say, I don't think that's... it might not even be finished yet, or it won't be finished yet.
I've, do you think they'll paint the puck red and put white spots on like it's a big piece of pepperoni?
No, so remember how they used to do the highlight
the fox
cam?
Tail. Yeah, I love that. I was the only one who liked it.
What if we put a pizza over it with and like a red tail so it looks like pizza sauce hanging around?
No, it'll be a red puck with a breadstick behind it. Like crazy breadsticks.
Oh my gosh.
There's so many bad visuals on these.
I know.
We are going to... take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back, episode 78 of the Better on Draft podcast. Still with us, Brewery Becker, as well as Brewgiver. I said it right.
Yeah, there you go.
So what can you brew with a rubber band, a paper clip, a batch of strawberries?
I was waiting for that.
And a Bic lighter. That one, the one from the party store that you need three turns to work.
All right. The rubber band is used to heat the kettle. I don't want that in my beer.
You can burn the rubber band.
I will burn it before I put it in my beer.
So, okay, there we go. I see what I was looking for.
Okay, all right.
I'm looking at the news page, and I'm like,
because I know you definitely, apparently, you really want to talk about that one.
So let's first bring out the big news.
I was gonna say, should I bring that out first?
Let's talk about the Stout 16. We have a winner.
Yes, apparently we do. A resounding winner.
Yeah, but they took off and did not stop.
No,
To say the least.
And big ups to what was that? Was that Mark from Perrin? Dude, leave the one shining moment to like.
Yeah, we don't need to get any.
Yeah,
we're such as well. Come on, Luther, we're not getting a C&D from Luther.
Oh, we'll get him for his record company. That's for right. Sure.
I mean, you can go to Krispy Kreme and start making a Luther, but that's about it.
So, with the voting itself, Boffin defeats Redline. And definitely quite an interesting vote, 505 to 221.
Now, is my comment that I said to you in the group chat available?
Possibly.
Like, I knew Cinderella was a stepchild, but I didn't know that Cinderella was a redhead stepchild.
Yeah, I can't hear you. There you go.
Put the mic. It's not work. It's
then go to a different microphone.
I'm turning all knobs.
Yeah. I mean,
tight. Not that knob.
So Boffin is going to be winning. We are going to announce the winner. Not announce the winner. Announce the winner on our Facebook page. Definitely add Boffin on Facebook to find the. Just go to a different microphone. Just go to a different microphone. Doing. There you go.
There you go.
With that in mind, definitely check out Boffin's website or their Facebook page, and you'll know exactly when the release is.
Baffin Brewing Company.
We do know the beer, though, and we can announce that. It's going to be their Mango Unchained.
The M is silent.
So is it Ango Unchained?
It's like Ango Unchained.
So we did have a secondary contest. We had the Bad Beat Bracket.
This one didn't get the love and support I thought it would get.
I think everyone was a little exhausted after the first three rounds, to say the least.
And you plus, know. There were three choices, so now it was making
this was
it even,
this was
even
one shining
complex.
Bracket, one shining bracket for sure.
So your winner of the Bad Beat Bracket is Downey, the Downey family over in Dearborn, Downey. Michigan. Coming up, they just got eked out by Boffin the round before. But nonetheless, Downey is the winner, which means we're going to be giving away a $50 gift card to Downey. To say the least, I don't think they have actual physical gift cards there. But nonetheless, you will have a tab there. And with that in mind, your winner of the gift card.
Oh, we announce this now?
Oh, we're going to announce
it.
Why
don't we give away like five growlers worth of beer and pick five people?
Because you didn't explained to that earlier, so I'm still going to give away the $50 that I explained. So the name is John Miller out of Clinton Township, Michigan.
He's going to drive all the way to Dearborn to drink alcohol?
That's not that far of a drive.
Hey, if he voted for him, then he must have drove
down
there.
That is 94 all the way.
That's
hey,
all right.
Know, that's an excuse to go head out down Downey, bring some friends.
Hey, we had free beer. We had a couple of the guys that were in the Downriver Beer Drinkers United group that were driving up to Baffin to say, all right, we need to find out.
Well, that's
out.
Straight 94.
Yeah, that's straight 94, but well, that's,
so is,
that's still.
So is kind of.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a lot closer. Come on, River Rouge, even River Rouge to St. Clair Shores is a lot closer than Clinton Township to Dearborn.
You could also say, you know,
Sault Ste. Marie, straight 75, too, right?
Exactly. It's straight 75.
I work for Ray at the Subaru Inc. Company as well.
So, John Miller, we're going to be reaching out to you on Facebook. Make sure to pay attention, hopefully. If not, then we'll just give it to another person if he doesn't accept it.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I will take it.
Better holler back, fool.
I was going to say, well, I'll take it. And then
throw a better on draft party. Ain't no party like a better on draft party, because a better on draft party stops reasonably at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. In the evening, because that's when bars shut down.
Wow.
Sometimes I think 2 a.m. is, in fact, 2 p.m.
I mean, you can call.
When you start work at 3 p.m., you know, 2 a.m. is quitting time.
It's like dinner, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. And also, don't forget, we are giving away 2 tickets to the Metal and Beer Festival out in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is going to be
Say that again. Metal and Beer
metal
Festival?
And
like
beer
metal,
festival.
Like metal.
Yes.
Metal
like, as in rock like metal.
And I Beer mean, Festival.
It, can you throw out
Tell
some
me
of those
more
bands
of
again?
So the Metal and Beer Festival itself is going to have bands including Pig Destroyer, which is probably the only one that I really know off the Agoraphobic, I believe, is another one of the oh, actually, here we go. We have I have all the bands right here.
Isn't this a Dave Mustaine production?
I don't believe it's Dave Mustaine as much as it's Unibrew, who has teamed up with Dave Mustaine at one point. Agoraphobic, Nosebleed, Municipal Waste, Immolation, Panopticon, Krieg, Crypt Sermon, Sleep.
What, Scott Stapp's coming?
Krieg, not Creed. Pig Destroyer, Withered, Chemist, Falls of Raros, and Cemetery Piss.
Is there like a metal band name generator? Like there's a Wu-Tang Clan name generator? Because it seems everything is like medieval, upset, gothic, and hurting things. Like
you say that like it's a problem.
No, I'm just. It seems like it's very cliche. So I'm just trying to figure out if it all comes in the same area. Did I just get turned off again?
No, I turned off number 6 because you were double loud.
That's the whole point of death metal is like, that it's supposed to be.
I want
to
hear of a.
It's supposed to be
medieval.
Terrifying.
I want to go to a death metal show where the group's called like Happy Fun Time or I Love Belly Rubs.
Right now, I'm really feeling I should have brought my Viking drinking horns that we have at our place. So, because I don't know if you saw on our website, but the Horn Club is one of our things, and along with Varditka beer, we sell hand carved, hand painted, custom bee wax line drinking horns.
Oh my goodness.
That are truly pieces of art. And now that we're talking about metal, which I didn't think we would talk about at a beer thing, I now am feeling wholly unequipped.
This show can go sideways real fast. Yeah. You're lucky it only took us 55 minutes.
Yeah. So now that we're talking about metal, have you guys heard about the Scandinavian bluegrass band that only covers Swedish death metal songs? They're called Slaughter of the Bluegrass.
That's a lot of words that you just said. I'm not going to lie.
And it's kind of weird that those words could actually possibly go together.
So what do you think is more possible, Viking reggae or Jamaican death metal?
Oh, Jamaican death metal is already existing. Okay. Almost certainly.
Oh my gosh. So anyways, as we finish up this conversation real quick before we get to the news.
Can we talk about this now?
You just have to have a die in the world.
What do you want to talk about that?
So our Stanley Cup, our one shining moment, will be this golden shining growler that I will be very happy to present on the bar top of Baffin Brewing Company at a date to be determined. So I look very forward to giving it to Evan and Joe, I believe, and crowning them the first ever 2017, I guess the only ever stout 16 or 2017.
The first ever. The first of many, that's for sure. So with the Metal and Beer Fest, just so you guys know, some breweries that are going to be there include McKellar, Cigar City, 18th Street, Three Floyds, and Hoof Hearted. So a large group. That's 2 days of unlimited pours.
Unlimited
pours, as well as you get 2 days worth of concerts, too. So you can just drink, you can drink and metal.
Will it be a slosh pit instead of a mosh pit, then?
Well, if you're in the mosh pit and you're sloshed, you will be, in fact, in a sloshed pit.
It makes the elbows hurt less.
Do you think anybody will be so savage they just come off the top ropes with an elbow?
I hope so.
I see what you did there.
Oh,
I see what you did there. Rob, what's going on?
Hey.
Was that a little Macho Man you had over
yes,
there?
Yes, yes. Well, savage yeah. elbow drop.
Just don't drive your car. Just don't drive your car into a light post. Okay?
Well, he had a heart attack. Right. Jesus.
Come on.
I was saying, I thought he died normally.
Come on.
Don't miss my rant, Macho Man.
Hey, he missed Elizabeth.
I know.
Oh.
Oh. Good Lord.
I just saw a picture of him the other day on Reddit where he was contemplating the existence of the world, looking out over the sea, and I was sad. Macho Man is no longer here with us.
Right.
I have that meme.
I missed that dude.
Rob.
Anyway, couple of things I came across this week. Obviously, taking over the world one state at a time being the conglomerate known as Oscar Perrin Cigars, as I'm calling them lately. Added some more distribution into their mix as Perrin is going to start distributing in New York this month, while Cigar City is going to be moving into New Jersey. Supposedly, it looks like this week from the article I read.
Yep.
It may be this month, maybe next month, but regardless, they are moving into New Jersey. For Perrin, I believe that puts them at, I think it's four states, including us being Colorado, Florida, and you know now New York. Couldn't remember there were anywhere else. Cigar City adding New Jersey is going to be their ninth state, which you know includes obviously Florida, then Georgia, Alabama, Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York, Tennessee, and North Carolina. One thing I've been kind of thinking about is you know we had that Ice Jam festival that happened
over
in
at Perrin. Yep.
That happened. You know what was that? A couple months ago.
Yep. And, it was right before Mike came on the show.
Right. And they had their own exclusive highlight that was brewed there at Perrin. And it basically was supposed to be on tap until it was gone, which, you know, everybody just raves about highlight so much that I kind of thought it should have been gone that day.
It's overrated.
And yet, going to Perrin for the No Rules release 2 weeks ago, sure enough, it was still there on tap.
It's because you can't get it here. It's got the old fat tire effect. Before Fat Tire got into Michigan, everybody loved it, and the second it got here, nobody cared.
Okay, I guess that's maybe what I was thinking then, because I mean, with all of the distribution that is happening, and that you have Perrin going into these states that Cigar City is already distributing, and where Oscar Blues is distributing, you don't have Cigar City coming here, and it makes me wonder with that. I know it wasn't distributed. You couldn't get anywhere else. But with that amount of beer not going during the festival and still being there.
As much as I love Maduro and I love their brown ale, there's too much beer here and too much competition for out-of-state competition to even think about coming in here without a huge marketing plan.
And I think High Life's a decent IPA.
It's
a good game.
There's a ton of decent IPAs.
But I can't tell you
how many great IPAs I've had.
I think there are, like, you're coming into, I don't want to say, like, Michigan's the IPA capital, but it's definitely I would call it more like the craft beer capital.
Well, between Transient, M43, Ellison.
Hell, even Two Hearted.
Yep.
Well, I'm saying, I think you go to any.
Two Hearted's near the top of the list.
Yeah. It's been voted one of the top five beers in America for, like, 5 years
I think,
straight.
Like I said, when I went to Florida a few weeks ago, I didn't see Highline on tap. I saw Two Hearted on tap. Hey. So, like, if you're going to come to Michigan, you need to come with something that's either going to be different than what we're drinking that we have here, or something that's going to beat it. And, you know, if you come with an IPA, and it's – I mean, everyone's here used to drinking Two Hearted, which is really good. So if it's going to be better than that, cool. But I don't even think it's any better than, like, Norm's Raggedy Ass IPA or
right.
Drip well, you, which would kick its ass.
You got all that, but it's going to be – Alesmith came into the States and right. to the state, and nobody – the crowd went mild.
Yeah, but you know what? I think
– I mean, don't get me wrong. Speedway Stout is phenomenal.
Everybody wants the Mexican Stout. They don't want – they don't care about the regular. They don't care about the IPA.
Like the gas station chain? when I hear Speedway,
no, it's got the checker.
Indianapolis or gas stations,
right?
Yeah, it's the checker.
Yeah, it's got a checker flag. but I mean, I've always heard Michigan from out of state people is so provincial. You always cling to anything that's Michigan first, and then you go out.
Yeah,
and especially if you want to talk about like our beer, if we've got a good beer, why are we going to want to drink someone else's beer that's less good? I mean, what does Florida know about beer? I mean, if we wanted to, like,
there's
breed alligators.
There's a lot of guys from Michigan down there now.
Yeah.
If I mean, it seems like they know enough that there's all of these people that want to trade for these for their beer.
Because you can't get it here.
And you know what I call them?
That's all
it is. Suckers.
I can't believe people trade for beer. By the way, I'm still trying to adjust to this concept. Like, people go out and will go out for KBS and go on eBay and pay $45 for a bottle. And I'm like, why don't you go down to the local brewery who has a beer that's 99.99% equally as good? That's $4.50 a pint.
And of course, on eBay, an empty bottle, because you can't say that it's full because it's illegal to sell a full bottle.
Oh, is that how they sell it?
Because that's why it always – and I always thought that was like the worst thing, because somebody could go on there and say, oh, my God, there's a case of empty bottles of KBS.
And it was actually empty.
And then it actually shows up empty. I mean, what are you going to say to eBay? It's like, dude, this dude just sold me 32 bottles of empty bottles of KBS. I'm like, well, that's what the listing
Well, that's where
said.
They sell like a hot rod car, or a Hot Wheels car for $20, and it comes with a bottle of KBS.
I mean, is that really how they do it on eBay?
Some people will do that. Where they'll sell.
It's the Tommy Chong effect. Buy a bong, pound of weed included, $12,000.
Exactly. They have to go that route. Anyway, another one that I ran into, Kansas, as we were talking about Kansas a little earlier.
The band?
Being not
no,
the
no.
band.
Carry on.
Neither them or Chicago or Boston or whether what city that they play in or state. Kansas, of course, being the wonderful land of 3.2 beers, has now had a change of heart as the State House approved the final action on a bill which will allow convenience, grocery, and drug stores the ability to sell stronger beers.
Hallelujah.
The beer passed Kansas. By a majority vote, 80-46, but that's not really going to put them into the brewery's Black Tuesday territory just yet. As
what's Black Tuesday?
Thank you for asking that.
We were drunk enough to not even remember, because Black Tuesday was a imperial stout brewed in bourbon barrels or aged in bourbon barrels.
Oh, that I was expecting like a specific day in history.
No. I am talking about the brewery.
He's referring to the beer.
Black Tuesday the day the stock market crashed.
Yeah, that's why I said the brewery's Black Tuesday.
No, that was Monday.
So it's the day
that was Black Monday.
Okay. No, they make Gray Monday.
No, it's Blue Monday.
Oh, jeez.
All right.
Don't start
I should make a beer called Permacloud. That just popped in my head. What perfect Michigan beer name can you think of other than Permacloud?
Ooh, yeah. What's the beer going to be?
How can you make a beer more Michigan than Permacloud?
There's your hazy IPA right there.
Yeah, make a hazy IPA.
I got it.
Genius. You're a genius.
Hey, you do not take my beer. No, the perfect Michigan beer is called Sunshine Gray.
I thought it was some hop head dream or something.
No, Sunshine Gray. Yeah. Sunshiny Gray.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Anyway, under the House bill, businesses limited to 3.2% beer licenses would be able to place on their shelves beer that contained no more than 6% alcohol by volume as of April 1st, 2019.
Wow. Why so fast?
Yeah.
I'm shocked that I didn't know that. They only had 3.2 beer in Kansas.
There's a lot of states that have only 3.2 beers.
Yeah.
I know. Well,
I wish you guys could see my slack jaw right now.
That'll be on our Instagram page, too.
I guess what I see is that the bigger problem is that now this pretty much kind of kills all of the mom and pop shops, because now you've got all the big box retailers that are out there that are going to be able to buy all of this
Budweiser
beer.
That's it, really.
Well, the Budweiser and the like that is going to be in these big box retailers that they're going to be able to sell for cheaper than what the mom and pop shops can do. And, you know, obviously going to be the same beer, but, you know, everybody's going to go to Walmart or.
Well, let's take a pause on this situation real quick. As you also might not know, some states don't let you buy liquor that's over 35 proof either. Huh. So I think, depending on how the liquor laws in Kansas still work, beer is kind of flat in generalities. Like the Budweiser and the Miller and the Coors, they're striving to sell the same amount of alcohol as they have, whereas spirits and alcohol companies are growing. So if they're selling more alcohol, which I'm going to guess a heavy grain state like Kansas does, and it still favors the mom and pop thing, it might be okay.
Well, I guess from doing a little research on this stuff, Kansas has been like relatively behind from everybody because they didn't even allow alcohol until 1948.
They didn't even let baby out of the corner.
All right, let's not talk about Kansas anymore. You're making me a little nervous here. I'm getting twitchy.
Hold on, so what kind of chalk was Jayhawk rocking?
That's a damn good question. They were probably just driving down to Missouri. Just figuring stuff up.
I have another on that feed of news. I don't know how this worked, but the state of Michigan just started allowing the gas stations. Is this something that you've already... That's in
no,
your thing?
Go on. No, you just...
So Meijer and
I was going to talk about.
Kroger gas stations are now allowed to sell beer.
Really?
Yes. So I've seen this in the Flint area. It's actually closer to Lansing. But whereas the liquor license at the Meijer to sell beer now extends to the gas station in the parking lot.
Nice.
I was going to say, that's something very common for, like, in Ohio, you can buy beer at any gas station. So.
Well, you can buy beer in most gas, not most, but pretty much any gas station here, at least beer and wine. But there's a big issue with liquor stores locally trying to fight off, because if you own a liquor store, like Zatoon Liquor on Rochester Road, just south of 59.
Smooth.
You can't just give the Bell Tire next door or the Lowe's on the other side of 59, you can't extend your liquor license.
I don't know, if you're at Bell Tire, you may want to extend it to them.
To sell beer, which, I mean, is basically what the Meijers and Krogers are doing, because they're Meijers and Krogers. There's my Michigan accent,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, Meijers.
They have different addresses.
How would you say it?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Meijers?
Right, exactly.
So
a plurality of Meijer.
Just because people work at Fords doesn't mean you have to talk about that. Ford's thing.
And these gas stations.
And what's wrong with Fords? No, you two are really confusing me. I am unaware of the problem of Fords and Meijers.
Right.
And Kroger's.
And Farmer Jack's.
Yeah.
And you go to Mr. Ford's place to work, right? Yeah, I mean.
Exactly.
Ford's.
Although it's
field.
Never been a Chevrolet's or a Chrysler's.
But it is General Motors.
Name, is it?
Or you
Ford
know what?
Owned it. It's Ford's plant.
As a German myself and a child of immigrants, it wasn't Murray Auto Parts. It was Murphy's Auto Parts. So that was always funny trying to decipher that. But so gas stations now that are owned by the large big box grocers are going to start selling beer. So that pretty much makes anybody who else sells beer moot, because when you go into a grocery store to get Red Bull, it's half the cost of what you would get at a party store at a CVS or Rite Aid,
right?
Because they're getting you on gas, which they're just really making pennies on, and just to lure you in to get the Chips Ahoy or the beef jerky.
They're gonna be
500 speedy bonus points if you buy three.
Though they're not gonna be, you know, right. They're not. I mean, it's just part of the game.
Yeah, I mean, if you own, like, I remember one of my there's a bunch of stores that I really liked when I sold beer to that specialize in the craft beer. But unless you're known as the destination where people are going to drive 10 to 15 minutes, like Zatoon Liquor in Rochester Hills, just south to 59 on Rochester Road, where they also sell great things like cigars and McClure's tomato
and liquor.
Juice and liquor. You can't.
And wine. They have a nice wine selection there.
Let's say that as well.
I was browsing through looking for a specific wine.
Any party supplies, balloons probably.
I don't know about that.
They give away free money as well.
Yeah. No.
I don't know about that. You got to talk to
Jack via the
that.
It's via the lottery. You have to scratch it off and pay
right.
first. Exactly. Small deposit, big payout.
Right.
But how would you guys see your standard beer store operating if you can go to Kroger's little gas station that's a 300-square-foot box and get your – I mean, I know we don't talk about
– It won't affect – anyone.
Yeah, I see it as no different as yet when the ninth beer store opens in your town and the previous eight have to deal with the new ninth guy. I mean, it's look at how many, you know, when Leopold Brothers opened in Ann Arbor, I said, how in the world is Ann Arbor going to support three breweries? There's no way a town can have three breweries.
How many do they have now?
What, 11?
Holmes is going to open
Ann
up
Ann Arbor
next week.
Is on the verge of surpassing Grand Rapids for density of breweries.
Really?
Wow.
There's what, 15 breweries, 14 breweries in the Grand Rapids areas, and there's 11 or 12, and soon to be 13.
But let's be honest,
Ann Arbor.
Ann Arbor has always eclipsed the number of hipsters per capita than any other state in Michigan.
Well, that's Ann Arbor's job. That is what Ann Arbor's here for.
So as long as they have your standard PBR handle, they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to this third one because Ken really wants to get to this one.
I'm getting on my soapbox here.
I know. So there was this argument that was on one of the Facebook groups.
You know what? Screw it. I'm cutting you off. Sorry. Folks, listen.
This is Ken talking.
This is Ken talking.
I'm done.
This is not better on draft. As we do this show, we always talk about beer, and we always talk about North Center Brewing's logo and mantra, which is if you, no matter what you think of your beer, or sorry, if you like your beer.
If you like it, then it's a good beer.
If you like it, then it's a good beer. Simple as that. It's simple, it's easy, it's straight to the point. When people have to go beyond, like, I can understand if you've had a bad day or a bad time at a specific brewery. I'm sure Brewery Becker, I'm sure you have had bad customers.
Servers always have mistakes.
Exactly. Customers
always give a place another.
There's no such thing as a store where everyone's had a perfect time, except for, you know, if the only customer is like your mother and she loves you no matter what. This will always happen. And the fact of the matter is that no matter what a beer is, no matter what the hype is, no matter what, somebody likes that beer. And you should not degrade them for liking that beer, nor should you degrade the beer. There's no point in talking down to a specific beer. And the example you were saying is no rules.
Right.
And there was a comment that somebody had like 2.5 cases left at their store.
Yeah, it was sitting at the store. The dude just basically said, you know, after 2 weeks, this is what's left. And members commented they wanted to know where it was and, you know, where they could get it. And the guy basically just said it's in a store in Flushing. And why would anybody chase such a mediocre beer? Something like that.
Well, I think there's two points there. A, if you're in a group on Facebook or in any social circle where you're trying to promote something, you don't just say it's somewhere. The point that you're in an enthusiast group is to say, hey, if you want something, I just saw it, so I'm going to share that. But also at the same rate, someone puts their heart and soul. This is somebody's job. Nobody comes to your job at H&R Block and knocks all the papers off your desk and says, you know what? You're a shitty accountant. You didn't type a one in there fast enough. Nobody comes to your house as a janitor and shits on the floor and says, you know what? Clean up that. You know, someone literally works their 9 to 5 to brew that beer. Let them do their job. If you don't like it, cool. Then go promote another beer. But you don't have to degrade someone else's livelihood. You know, I really hope that this person is a deer hunter.
Are you familiar with fanboys?
Well, yeah. Dave.
There's no life to fanboys if you can't tear your opponents down. That's just what they do.
But the thing, though, is that we had our contest, and Matt, you saw the comments that we didn't share.
Well, this brewery sucks. But then don't vote for him. Vote for the other one.
Yeah, right. you don't have to tear down one brewery to bring up another brewery. Just like you don't have to tear down one beer to bring up another beer. Just like you don't have to tear down anything to bring up. You just say you can be a promoter of that beer without destroying. Like there's a difference between, and again, you mentioned fanboy. Like, you know, you could be a Detroit Lions fan and not, you know, go to a Boston a New England Patriots fan and be like, you're a fucking asshole. Part of my language. I know we don't swear there very often, but that's true. You could boo that other team because they're going up against your team, but you don't have to go to the person that is a fan of them and be like, you're stupid for liking them.
But you know what? This is also the same people that couldn't figure out how to hover over the like button. So it's not like we're getting rid of the Neanderthals in society here.
Don't diss Neanderthals.
Yeah.
Okay. So kind of like going back. So
they tried.
Again, I know we're trying to attract these people to listen to our show, but I don't want these people listening to our show.
No, we're trying to attract
If you're a dick to someone for what they drink, you know, Matt drank Twisted Tea today. Dan drinks Cordy's a King Cobra every week.
Right. I have to say, I didn't even know what Twisted Tea was until I came in here right now.
That's fine. Did you try some? Is there some left for you?
There's a little bit left. Right.
There you go.
Give it a shot.
It's iced tea.
I'm pretty sure that's just your spit.
No, that's not backwash.
No, the 2 milliliters that are in there are almost certainly 80% spit.
You'll get the ambiance of it.
But that's the thing, though, is that even if you don't like that, it doesn't matter if he likes it because that's what he likes to drink.
He likes it. He wants it.
And it doesn't matter what kind of beer you like. You can always find it at Brown Iron Brew House in Washington Township, Michigan, at 27 Mile Road.
Do they have micros there?
Or they have macros, micros.
Or macros, I meant, sorry.
Mongos, Twisted Teas.
They're even doing a no rules tapping.
You know what? If you like good beer, it's at Brown Iron Brew House. If you like bad beer, it's at Brown Iron Brew House. If you like beer, it's at Brown Iron Brew House.
Or yeah.
If you like wine and spirits, don't go to Brown Iron Brew House because they're a brew house.
Well, I'm going to hijack you guys here for a second since we're talking about alcoholic tea and talk about the Brewgiver beer tea, Kombucha. That was made by Unity Vibrations, so named after the Brewgiver.
We actually had Unity Vibration on almost a year ago here.
Turn around, Mike. You see there's Unity Vibration. Hey, so the nice. Brewgiver Unity Vibration Kombucha is literally named after this man. So
awesome.
So if you want to drink alcoholic tea, Unity Vibrations is where it's at.
I work with awesome guys, too.
Again, kind of like bringing it down. I know I got on my soapbox. I got pissed off at people. But the fact of the matter is that you do not need to bring someone else down or somebody else's beer down to promote your beer.
In the immortal words of Charlie Papasan, relax, don't worry, have a home brew. Or in this case, relax, don't worry, have a craft brew. So it's all about drinking beer and having fun and enjoying yourself.
Relax, don't worry, have a brew.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if somebody came in here and they wanted to drink the PBR in the fridge, drink the goddamn PBR. If that's what makes you happy,
right?
Why should I care?
It doesn't affect me. It's fanboyism. Everybody,
fuck the fanboys.
You know, Apple fanboys tear down PC guys to make themselves feel better.
Okay, I'm one of those.
Apple guys.
Yeah, but you know what?
I mean, it's
the Apple people. Okay.
We're going to take a quick break. It's going to be a little bit shorter than normal, but we'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast and the return of five questions. We're back with episode 78, Better on Draft podcast. Let's pour another beer.
Damn you, Matt.
All right, you guys had Vardrytka already, and now we have Vardrytka Bragget. So this is our same Vardrytka, which is our Scandinavian farmhouse ale, which I'm pretty sure we're the only brewery in Michigan that makes a Scandinavian farmhouse ale. It's our standard farmhouse ale, but it's got a significant honey addition that brings it from 6% alcohol to 15% alcohol.
I'll just take a little bit then.
You can walk back. You're good.
So, there's a little bit for you.
So each and every week, segment three, as he's pouring, we start five questions with Matt Bush. We've been away from it, so we're going to attempt to do it with some non-Detroit fans. It's Detroit Tigers.
Well, it's opening day.
Opening day, yep.
Which is only a holiday in like four cities maybe.
Here, Boston, it's a
Boston,
big day.
New York, Cincinnati, and the Bay Area.
Still costs a vacation day, though. It's not really a holiday.
Well, if you have a good job, it doesn't, but that's fine. Are there any baseball people in this room besides me at the moment?
That's pretty much you. I'm a big Chris Schott fan. Is that still a person?
Okay. All right, so
we'll give it a shot.
I'm a beer guy.
this might be rough.
It's going to be rough. Or it'll be really quick.
Okay, so... Yep. I'm going to say, what Midwest team did the Tigers beat in their first opening day? Here's a clue. It's another Midwestern beer city.
Cincinnati. I'm going to say the White Sox.
Or Milwaukee.
That's got to be Milwaukee. Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah. What other beer cities are there in the Midwest?
Cleveland now. I mean, Cleveland's
now,
got a pretty...
Historically.
In the first...
First game.
In the first... So what about St. Louis?
That's
Is that Midwest still?
It's a big enough city to be it, too. I mean,
I was going to say Detroit's always entwined with St. Louis in history. We'll say the Cardinals.
Okay.
Or, well, St. Louis.
The answer is the Brewers. Remember, baseball, they only play the AL teams. Or they the same league teams, they don't do the crossover.
I was kind of wondering. Interleague play was a thing back then, but I don't think it was that back then.
They were completely separate. That was pre-World Series.
All right. The game was in 1901, and it was quite an event.
What could you possibly
That was the highest scoring opening day of all time.
Really? Wow. I didn't even know the Bruins were a team back then.
Brewers.
Bruins. God damn it. I told you I was a hockey guy.
How many runs was scored? Was it A, 15 to 20? B, 21 to 25? C, 26 to 30? Or D, 30 or more runs scored in one baseball game? The highest scoring home opener of all time.
Wait, give me those options.
It's more than 30. That's too easy. It's
15 to 20.
More than 30.
21 to 25. 26 to 30. or 30 plus.
So you're giving us a range. This
I'm giving
not...
20, no.
No,
those are the scores.
Are you saying those are those the scores or are you giving a range?
Okay, so total runs scored
in
the game was 15 to 20.
Oh, okay, so it's a
21
range.
To 25, 26 to 30, or 31 plus.
I believe it was 21 to 25.
I'm going to agree with you.
Because
that's my thought.
I want to say that was against the Oakland A's, and they won that game 20 to 4.
Okay, so if you were listening to what I said, the highest scoring opening day was against the Brewers.
Tigers and Brewers.
The very first.
The very first year. And going into.
So it has to be higher than the score.
So it has to be higher than that.
Yes. So going into the ninth inning, the Brewers were leading 13 to 2, and the Tigers ended up winning 14 to 13. So the answer is C, 26 to 30.
All right, whatever.
But our favorite part of the our
we all lost. Congratulations.
Our favorite part of the show. No, we have not lost yet. You're about to lose.
We're about to lose. Yeah.
My favorite part of the show is you have a red Solo cup in front of you full of yellow beer.
Yes.
You get to ask me two questions about this beer and then guess what the beer is as a collective. The only clue I will give you to start with is it is typically found in the single section of your local beer store.
You know, I like just drank a mouthful of a Juniper Gruit Ale that's 15%
alcohol.
Would
you like to clear your palate?
I would.
Dry.
I'm like, we can't guess Aquafina, so.
Would you like to?
It's got to be something that's like ultra or.
So you said this is a pale beer found in the single section.
No, this is a yellow beer.
It's going to be yellow if you were to pour it out in color. Yeah. And you typically find this beer in the single section of your local party store.
And we are to identify this.
Please do.
Or what the hell? There's...
Provide your best guess.
Oh, my God.
It tastes like nothing. It
smells like a red Solo cup.
You know why it tastes like nothing? Because I couldn't find Schlitzbull ice today. I went looking for Schlitzbull ice, Ken, just to punish you.
Why would you punish me?
Because you made me drink Schlitzbull ice.
Well, you deserved it.
I mean, seriously, it's just, I feel like I would put this in a water bottle and work out on the elliptical with this shit.
You know,
there's just nothing
to this.
It's
not something as good as PBR. You know that.
It's crazy unhappy.
It's got nothing. It's got. I have.
See?
I don't even have soap.
I figured if I find the most.
Oh, wait. No. There's the soap. I just got it.
And you know what it kind of tastes like? If you're like in the shower and you drink a little bit of the water in the shower.
You say soap it's a bad thing. I mean, have you not drank English beer?
I have.
Goldings is like brushing your teeth with soap.
It's because the English never brush their teeth.
Is that what happened?
So I tried to find the most in the middle beer I could possibly find. And
in the middle of what river?
In the middle of what river?
The Cuyahoga River post fire. I mean,
this is pretty.
Nondescript was the word I was going for.
Exactly.
Did I hit it?
There's very little anything in this.
All right, so let's manage a question. I'm going to go under the assumption for this question that this is some type of American beer. So
I wish this beer was called Ambiguous.
Ambiguous. There's a beer name.
That's what you guys do on the show, from what I understand. It's just come up with beer names.
No, that's what I do.
That's what he
Not
does.
Not what he does.
But are you the hop dream guy, too?
Apparently.
Yeah. So I'm just going to knock off the first question. Is this brewed by Anheuser-Busch or any of its entities? So American entities. Therefore,
agree.
Miller Coors is not part of that.
I will agree with that question.
So, again, ask the question. Is it brewed by the Anheuser-Busch?
Is it brewed by Anheuser-Busch as a separation of Miller Coors?
It is.
Okay.
Mm. Well, considering 50th anniversary beer is no longer made.
Well, see, I was thinking, I think it's Mick Ultra.
It's got to be something like an Ultra because
it's cut with so much water. It's not even funny.
It's Canada Dry ginger ale.
I mean, it's seriously like as if somebody just took a bottle of Aquafina and just decided to put some additives in there.
It's got to be the least
like
hoppy
three
beer
hops.
Ever drank.
Yeah, like three.
Blop.
Let's just drop them in there, let them sit there in a bottle for about 2 hours, and then we'll just dump them
like
out.
You think Atkins is like counting the hops that he's adding to it?
I'm pretty sure my Gruit Ale could actually bring the IBUs up on this beer somehow.
we're pretty much at
a handful of hops.
Like I'm going to throw out some names. I think Natty Light. Is Natty Miller?
No, there's more hops in that beer.
So Mick Ultra, Bud Select.
Bud Select, is that a beer?
Bud Select is a beer.
There's more hops in urine than Bud Select or Mick Ultra.
I was going to say, because, I mean, really? I've never had Old Duels, but, I mean, holy hell.
Oh, non-alcoholic.
Sharps.
Is this a non-alcoholic?
So, I mean, it's...
Next question. Is there alcohol in this beer?
Well, I mean, if...
There is alcohol. This is a beer.
No?
This is not a
beer. You're not trying to trick us?
This is not wine.
This is something that does require ID to get.
I don't get ID'd anymore because I'm getting that age.
I don't know what it is, I mean, honestly, but I don't want to drink any more of it.
That's the only endorsement we need.
I mean, what in the hell is this? I don't...
This is nothing... And again, I don't drink these beers, so I have really no clue.
You should. These are great golfing beers.
I'm not a golfer.
I think we have a different definition.
That's my hobby. Golfing is not high on my list.
So it's brewed
on busy brewing.
Brewed by Anheuser-Busch.
And he said it's actually hoppier than Ultra.
No, I said it's hop. Urine is hoppier than what this can is.
All right, so I think I have a good secondary question. Is the word bud in any format of this beer?
Bud?
Bud, B-U-D.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
So are you asking if the word bud is on the can?
Correct.
Why are we thinking bud?
He has to look.
Can I examine the can?
You can examine the can. So it's not Budweiser or Bud Select, or he would say yes.
He's checking.
He's checking. he's got this like giant black bag that you can't see through.
That you can see through.
Does he regularly subject you to this?
Oh yes, every week.
Of beer?
Every week.
It's not like he brought you, you know, Hop Slam or something, and I did. He's.
Oh no,
this is like a little torture session.
Unfortunately, I have to recuse myself because I just saw what it was.
All right, so the word "bud" is not on the can.
Okay.
Nor in the fine print.
I'm going to stick with my original statement. I think this is Mick Ultra.
I'm gonna go with you too.
Are you just saying that because you?
I have nothing else to guess at.
Good job.
Called it the second it came out.
Good job.
Let's throw
you. Cheers to you.
This is really what. No, I've actually never drank this beer before. This is what it tastes like.
This is what it tastes like.
People pay money for this.
People pay a lot of money for $8 for a six pack.
People buy cases of this stuff.
This is the first beer I ever drank was Michelob, not the Ultra, but the Lager.
I mean,
I can tell the second I drank it.
Ultra water?
Ultra water.
I mean, there's nothing else in here.
It's like 4.1% alcohol.
I mean, it's like listen.
Yeah, but so is my Session IPA.
My urine is more than 1% alcohol.
It's like,
you must be drunk all the time.
What can we do to make this water taste better? It's like, oh, you know what? Let's just make a really big-ass tea bag and just steep the hops in there for about 5 minutes just to change the color.
Is this a triple-hopped beer?
No, that's Miller Lite.
No, that's the one-third hopped beer.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing. All right,
so I don't know if you guys realize this. There's a new game sweeping the nation. I watched this show called AV Club yesterday. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. It's on Fusion, so it's on really...
Yeah, I don't have cable.
Fancy cable.
Yeah, I don't have cable either.
It's called...
Canceled it 5 years ago. Best thing I ever did.
It's called Who's 6'3". Now, there are three things I hate in this world. Intolerance, the Dutch, and being a copycat. I don't know if you got the joke there. So, I'm not going to copy the game Who's 6'3". But I'm going to change it as who's not 6'3". So we have five starting pitchers in the Detroit starting lineup. Justin Verlander, Jordan Zimmermann, Matt Boyd, Michael Fulmer, who started today, and Daniel Norris. Three out of those five people are listed as 6'3". Three out of the five.
As 6'3".
As exactly 6'3" tall.
That's a weird...
So
it's like a weird fact.
Of those five people, who is not 6'3"? And this is the question I would typically look at Nick, because I'm pretty sure he would get one right off the bat. Because if anybody knows height, it's Nick Paglia.
Oh, my God.
Ouch.
Damn.
Who still
keeps going after Nick and the height jokes.
You guys let him off the hook way too many times.
I made a comment.
As a man who's 6'3", I'm going with Daniel.
Have you seen Daniel Morris?
I have not.
Okay.
I'm just completely guessing up, Frank.
There's absolutely nothing to it.
I see. I just need another name, so I was just going with Norris and Fool.
Now, JV's taller than 6'3". I know that for a fact.
Okay, that is correct.
JV's a tall motherfucker.
Yeah. JV is 6'5".
Like, it's not even just seeing him with Kate Upton and thinking, oh, he's tall. No, he's tall.
I mean, you're seeing him with Kate Upton. You're not really looking at him anyway.
Who are the others? Boyd?
Boyd, Norris, Fulmer, and Zimmerman. Three out of those four are 6'3" tall. Listed as.
I have no idea for the other one.
The answer is George Zimmerman, who's only listed at 6'2".
Oh, whatever.
Midget.
6'2".
So my last question, again, I didn't know Nick was off until I read the notes today. I just want a guess or a thought or a prediction for the Tiger season.
Tiger season?
Yeah. Any prediction. It could be, like, my prediction will be the Tigers will end up 76-86. They're going to fire Al Avila by right after the trade deadline. And Miggy, who has still not gotten a hit all season, will bat under 300.
I think they're going to go 86-76 and miss the playoffs still.
So they're going to have the same record as last year's.
Why do you gotta say that?
Why do I have to?
So we can watch hockey season instead of baseball season.
I want everybody to win.
You know, it's...
See, you're the generation that gave us all participation awards. I don't appreciate that.
Oh. I'm pretty sure I'm older than all three of you. So.
Yeah.
That's why you're the generation that gave us the participation awards.
I'm not that old. Come on. Mike, on the other hand. Oh.
all the kids got participation awards.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, stupid thing.
Rob, oh, bloody hell.
Again, they're still doing
me,
that, right?
I
don't know. Are they?
I
would assume.
I say they go over 80 wins. I don't see them going over 90. Miggy gets traded to the Yankees.
God, that would be fantastic.
Wow, who do we get in return for that? Bullpen?
Gabby Sanchez.
The greatest thing in the world.
Curtis Granderson?
Prospects and cash to be determined. And
I would accept that. If you could take Miggy's contract, I would accept that.
I would take a swift kick to the testes and Gabby Sanchez. For Miggy.
Lord, what?
Yes.
What's George Steinbrenner? Is that the...
It's hell now. George died like 5 years ago.
Jesus Christ. But so if you're listening, Matt will take a kick to the nuts in return.
If you give us Gabby Sanchez.
And give away...
But actually, no, not the Yankees. Oh. You know what? Not the Yankees.
I'm going to need another Red Solo cup for that
If anybody, it'd be the Bo Sox.
Just for the hell of it.
Red Sox.
Because he needs help. He gets traded to the Angels.
We're getting ready to drink it.
The two best hitters in theory in the world would be. I think Albert. Oh no, I can't.
Yeah, Pujols is still there. I think.
I thought you had to walk home.
I do, but I also don't want to regurgitate.
I mean, this 15%ers far from the strongest beer. Right. We make some 20%ers.
Hold on, let's talk about
that thing's going to slap you upside your head and drag you home.
Wait. Hashtag intrigued. 20%.
Our fruit bracket is a 20%er.
Could you make a 20% alt beer for Ken?
That sounds terrible.
It wouldn't be an alt beer anymore, but I can make 20% beer. Sure. Yeah. Get up that high, we got to start looking at additional sugars besides grain. You know?
So maybe a salt beer?
A salt beer.
We've got made with the tears of people who are bitches online.
Actually, I would love it if you could make a beer, an alt beer.
I love the challenge.
Maybe a 6 to 7% alt beer.
Yeah, it'd be a stick out. Yeah.
And call it alt Alternative Facts beer.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. You know, I'm in Brighton. See, right?
I know you are in Brighton.
See, I
have more red baseball hats around me sometimes than I'm comfortable with.
I guess that's the computer geek in me. I was thinking Control Alt Delete.
That's actually a name of a lot of alt beers.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of them at the Brewers Guild Festival.
Yep. I'm kind of disappointed now. Also, as a computer geek. So.
I know.
Could you name it Alterchefsky?
Alterchefsky.
I could. As of right now, we call our alt beer alt.
Alt.
No. Yeah, well. Please make a thick alt beer and name it Alterchefsky.
Like a Southeast Ohio IPA?
Anti alt. Yeah.
Did you guys see that video, by the way, the Southeast Ohio IPA?
Is that just Ohio River water?
No, this is a joke video or is this a real video?
It was made on April Fool's Day.
Funny or Die, clearly?
No, it wasn't Funny or Die. It was some brewery that released it. They got a lot of, definitely a lot of views for that one. But this thing was like chunky coming out of a...
I don't know.
It almost looked like a pureed, you know, those like Green Goodness Bolthouse shakes. It almost looked like an unpure, like a non-liquid, but like almost like a smoothie, like where it's hard,
like
as
a coal, like a coal that was
We call that trub, and it's what comes out at the bottom of the keg. Yeah, so.
There was quite a few of the April Fool's jokes, so of course, coming from founders and. The beer that's used to make KBS, and they're coming out with their IBS in a couple months, and suddenly
irrational bowel syndrome.
That's I guess apparently, and actually before I came here, I ran. I was at Holiday.
You did
Holiday Market, and I ran into
Great
Kevin.
Place, by the way.
Did you pick up a Lucifer's cuvée by chance?
I did not. I almost did. There's still a bunch
there. Cuvée
so,
Rene.
I don't know what you're saying. You're speaking a completely different language half the time with me, apparently.
These are beers, man.
I did not pick up any of that, but I did run into Kevin from Founders, and we were talking about that. And he said that even Jack at Zatuna was getting some calls wanting people wondering about IBS and when it was going to come out.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You know,
people not understand?
Now you understand
April
why
1st?
I don't name my beers, and I'm not trying to play this game. I mean, it's just, I don't have time for that. Who does?
You know, you run out of names for beers.
You know what? I'm at least in Lansing at least one time a month.
Yeah.
So I will, as a public service to you, stop in, taste your new beers. Give them great, catchy, marketable names.
Big names. Huge
names. Big, the best names. Believe me. Everyone will love them.
Big
names. I make the best names.
I make names. I make the best names.
You know you're on a watch list now, right?
Yeah, no, exactly.
You're done. You're done. You're going to be concrete shoes.
It'll be called, like, Huge Hands Grew It or something like that.
That's a spit take. Oh, my God. That was perfect. Where'd your glasses go?
In hand. He's good. He's good.
Sometimes I wish we had video, but other times I think he goes.
Right.
It's on our microphone. That's the best part.
So
no,
where can
the
they,
next guy won't notice that.
Where can they find Brewery Becker at? Where are you guys located? Should we talk to Brew Guyver for a minute while he's so red right now?
I've got to clean the beer off my face.
He's as red as the Solo cups. Oh, this is great.
Well done.
Oh, my God.
Well done.
That was
as red as my brand new cruise out
great.
There.
That was great. You should consider a second career in comedy. Yeah.
I have, but my face on TV for 40 minutes would not sell.
I have that problem, too, with my face. I'm sorry.
Like I said, I'll stop by. You give me some samples. I'll name the beer. Right. It'll be – everyone will fall in love with it.
So, Brewery Becker, where are you guys located at?
We're located in downtown Brighton on the corner of 1st and Main Street.
Downtown Brighton, that's 96 and 23-ish?
Right where they cross, yep. One of the easiest places to get to in the world.
Yeah, like, downtown Brighton, it's actually, I think it's underrated. It's a very...
I didn't know it was rated, let alone to be underrated.
Well, actually, they tend to say now about Brighton, we call it the three Bs. Birmingham, Bloomfield, and Brighton.
I don't know if anybody says
that. I'm not the one who came up with that. That's actually a thing that they say.
Like,
they're calling us, another name they call Brighton is Birmingham West.
So
it's an extremely up and coming town.
Yeah, I mean it's out there, but once you get downtown in Brighton, it looks like there's almost everything to do. Like there's all your big box shop, yeah, but there's also a couple of nice burger bars.
I heard there's a brewery down there.
There's a brewery called Becker that sells really good Belgian beers. That's almost like a B consonant. That's an English word.
It's an alliteration.
No, alliteration would be if they were
Brewery Becker
in
Brighton.
Right, Brewery Becker
in Brighton.
In Brighton,
Brewery Becker.
Brighton's Brewery Becker.
Triple alliteration.
There you go.
Like Lonzo Ball, it's the three Bs.
Are you guys open every day?
We are.
What about food?
We do have some food. It's not a huge menu, but we do have a menu. We have a very traditional Buffalo style beef on weck sandwich. Fantastic if you like meat. We have an old world sausage plate with things like Weisswurst, Bratwurst, and a Käsekreiner, which is a traditional Vienna style sausage, similar to a kielbasa, but stuffed with Emmental cheese. And then we have soft pretzels, chips and salsa, hummus and pita plate, popcorn, daily soup.
You guys
soup.
Make your own hummus
and their
there?
Kitchen is this big.
Yeah, we literally cook on the bar top. So when you order food, you get to watch the server cook it right in front of you. Not for like style, just because that's all we have.
Do you guys make your own hummus there? Or?
We do not, but I do get actually the hummus I get is imported from Greece.
Oh,
so it's not.
Almost everything I have is very traditional. So all my sausages are made by an actual Austrian immigrant. My hummus and pita all come from Greece. My olives come from Spain. I said earlier how we kind of, you know, like to really nail old world styles, and the same thing goes for my food. So if I'm going to have food from Greece, it's going to actually be Greek food.
So you've got a lot of European and I would even say North African identities in your bar. Do you ever think you might go Asian, Sub-Saharan, South American, or just something different? I mean,
you know, so much of it tends to follow cultures that are influential for us, and there's not a lot of cultural links to that. I would love to do something Japanese personally. And sake is something I can make under my license too. So we will probably do something weird with sake at some point in time because I'm allowed to. And I can't tell you how many people that work at Toyota that come into my place all the time. So it'd be nice to do something
now,
for them too.
Now your Gruids are mere removal of herbs away from being a mead almost. Have you ever thought about doing meads? Are those allowed?
It's a different license. So by law, I have to have 51% grain in everything I make.
Okay.
So the other 49% can be anything, which is one of the advantages of a brewer's license. A winemaker can't have any grain at all. Wine has to be all fruit, nothing else. They can't even bring grain onto their premise.
But the cider mead license, that's a separate license, isn't
it? Because the state considers cider wine, essentially, so it's because it's made from fruits. I do not have a wine license, so I can't make those. Though we are slowly working on getting over to that. But as of right now, I know we do a lot of braggots. We have a fruit braggot, the Vardrica braggot. I use a ton of honey
in
a lot of beers.
What braggot are we drinking?
You're drinking the Vardrica braggot right now.
One more time?
Vardrica.
Thank you. Yeah. It's not slurred. That's cursive.
Yeah.
That's cursive.
So Vardrica means the drink of the wolf, roughly. Dritka means drink of, and Var is a monstrous animal, typically a wolf, although wolf is actually Ulf.
What about Gojira?
Gojira is a giant Japanese monster. Gojira. It's
a big monster. So.
Did you just like say Godzilla in a smaller word?
Gojira?
Gojira.
Gojira.
Gojira. Gojira.
Right. Isn't that the original Godzilla?
That's the original Godzilla.
So that's just how I remember it from the Matthew Broderick Godzilla.
You guys have social media presence. I know you said you're not a marketer, but do you have somebody on staff?
I do have some stuff. We have a Facebook page and Instagram and stuff like
Grindr.
That.
Do you know that you're there? I mean, you said.
I don't have any idea what they do on there. I have one of my servers is a huge Instagram girl. That's where the Instagram comes from.
He washes dishes. He doesn't Instagram.
Yeah, I've literally spent more time washing dishes than I have on the internet, unfortunately. So
I could believe that.
Yeah, you know, sadly, I'm a bit of a Luddite. I don't Instagram. I don't Facebook.
But he makes. Really crazy good.
You know, I don't even get out that much. I mean, for a guy who's been homebrewing for 26 years, I don't think I've been to 20 breweries in my lifetime. So
speaking of,
I have always hung out with brewers. I've never cared about other breweries. I've never cared about what other breweries make. I care about beer and I care about other brewers. And I've always kind of been in that kind of mode. So I hang out with other brewers and I trade beers with brewers and I drink with brewers.
Yeah. So do you, for lack of better words, do you do anything now?
Mike, yes.
Do I do anything now?
Yeah, do you?
I work every single day.
I mean, you mentioned you just installed Boffin not too long ago and Boffin's not 2 years old, so.
Oh, no. I've worked with 50 different breweries in the state of Michigan. All over the world. I've been to Japan. I've been to China.
Bangalore. Don't forget Bangalore.
I've been to India. Yeah, I work with Arbor Brewing Company.
ABC.
On the brewing company.
He did all their Indian installs.
Yeah, the brewery in Bangalore is a brew pub that has Logan as a brewer there. And
the cool thing about Logan Brewing in Bangalore, Bangalore must have 12 different breweries right now. Arbor had hoped to be the first. They were the fifth. But Logan is the only person there making beers that are unique. He's got a watermelon goza, for gosh sakes. You know, you don't find that in India. So
I think the people in Goslar would be offended by that. But
so we're not going to cut you off, but we're going to hang out. We're going to have another half quick episode.
Yep.
We've got a great topic that I'm glad we have brewers about. We're going to take a quick break.
Yeah, and this is going to be going on to a half episode, so 78 and a half.
It's coming right up. Stick around if you want to hear it.
And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.